Let me ask you, before I get into some of the specifics I've been wondering about with this investigation that's going on into the person, whomever it is, that's leaving bodies along the beach in Long Island. Have you been, what with your unique perspective, have you been looking at recently in the news, either through the minds of criminals or thinking about sexual predators in the news?
Well, I'm curious about how all the people are jumping into your profiles, and when we really don't even have very much information about many of the remains, we have no idea if this is one killer or several unrelated people. We have remains of a child, remains of a man, and we have only four bodies wrapped in burlap, and yet people are jumping out there and giving these armchair profiles without really being involved in the investigation. Like, for example, it's a white male between 20 and 40. Please,
right.
Give me a break.
How do we know that? Yeah. Good. And so to amplify that a little bit, so we have this area in Long Island where there has been a series of bodies or body parts found. Four people have been identified. Four women have been identified who were all known to be using Craigslist and listing themselves as prostitutes, listing sexual services. So that much we do know. But as for these other parts, you're right. Could this end up just being kind of an odd dumping ground for killers of various types?
It could, because we don't even know for sure how old some of these remains are. It certainly could end up being that.
If that were true, would it inherently have to be a coincidence that the bodies have been dumped there, or could there be some sort of, I don't know, some sort of
conspiracy?
Yeah, or at least somehow some knowledge that, hey, by the way, if you're killing people, this is a great place to drop bodies.
I'm not sure, but I mean, it's not the first time that's happened, oddly enough.
Tell me about that.
It also happened in South Africa. There were two different serial killers using very similar dumping grounds, and they had quite a few bodies between them, but they didn't know each other.
Did they know of each other?
No.
How about that? So they were using the same area. How weird would that be if you're there dumping a body and you see somebody else dragging a body there at the same time? You'd be like, hey, what are you? Based on the information you've gathered over the years and the research of others and your own research and all of the books you've written, what would be the typical questions you'll be asking as you start to hear more and more about these bodies or the body parts they're discovering along the beach? What are the first questions that you would start asking if you were part of that investigation?
Well, I mean, do you mean after they've arrested somebody, or?
No, even before then. I mean, just to start
to. You know, one of the things that did come out recently was the roommate of one of the women who was identified, who was in the bags, who's probably the victim of a serial killer. I mean, he talked about how she had decided to, you know, put all her common sense behind her because this guy managed to convince her he was going to give her $1,500 for a few hours. So I think it's pretty clear that he has a manner that's convincing, that takes people off their guard, that seems trustworthy, that seems somehow sophisticated and smart. So I think that would be one of the things, you know, I'd want to find out more about, you know, the other women, what they might have said to the last person who saw them.
Right.
I'm surprised we're not really hearing much about that, because that's typically the first thing you do is find out who saw them last and what do they know. We have to do a whole victimology here, and that's something we're not learning much about. We're learning that they were prostitutes and used Craigslist. We're not really learning that much about who they were, who crossed their paths, where did they hang out. Those are the typical first steps you take in an investigation.
And what can you tell, or what do you think we see as an indicator just from those two facts? They were prostitutes and they used Craigslist. What would that tell you, maybe even just as a broad stroke, about the sexual predator / serial killer involved?
Well, it's more, he's more sophisticated than somebody who just goes and looks at where the prostitutes hang out and, you know, the sleazy end of town. He's using a more sophisticated device like Craigslist. But the thing about prostitutes is some prostitute killers have a mission to kill prostitutes, and others just do it because they're the easiest prey. I mean, they put themselves into the most vulnerable positions, and so that's why they do it. We don't really know what this one is. Some people, I've seen an FBI agent suggest that the burlap is some sort of ritual rather than just a convenient way of hiding, you know, putting bodies in to dump them.
Right.
You know, that's a possibility, and that would be interesting because now you're looking at, you know, sort of a twist that's unique, that's a signature, and, you know, what is that about? I'd want to explore that a little bit.
And do a lot of serial killers have that kind of ritualistic signature?
Quite a few do. I mean, some don't. Some just kill and that's it. But those who are killing to satisfy some inner psychological need or drive or twistedness or paraphilia, yeah, that's how they actually make the links. Quite typically, is what's similar in terms of what they did over and above what needs to be done to kill somebody. Like, are they posing the bodies? Are they, you know, leaving bite marks? Are they covering them or
right.
covering their faces? Or there was one in Texas who removed the eyeballs, and that was also a prostitute killer. He would always surgically remove the eyeballs. That's a signature.
Right.
It really tells you something about deviance.